Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, peace, health, wellness, abundance, and sustainability. Views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this radio station nor its management.
Hold my hand, take me to that place where our spirits lay unbroken.
I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode of Vegan Nation, we are very fortunate to be joined by the co-founders of Las Aguas Reses, Laughing Waters Vegan Community
in the
Amazon rainforest of Ecuador. We are joined by Terry Cretion and Michael Dance, a married vegan couple. Welcome, Terry and Michael, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
It's a pleasure to be here, Marlene. Thank you so much. We're thrilled to be able to talk to you and your audience.
Yes, thank you very much for having us.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to hear about your veganic permaculture fruit forest, intentional community, and forest reserve in the Amazon rainforest. So it's very, very exciting. Thank you for all that you do. And I'd like to start out by hearing first a little bit about yourselves.
Okay. Michael and I met in the Virgin Islands on the island of St. Croix about, 20-something years ago. And so we lived there for a long time before we moved to Ecuador. And what we were doing a lot of animal rescue there. There's a great pet overpopulation problem in the islands. And so we were doing a lot of animal rescue. We started a nonprofit organization there. And we just, from there, decided to, it just kind of evolved our lifestyle into a lifestyle of less harm, trying to do as little harm to animals as possible. Over time, we decided that maybe going to a place where we could start planting trees and saving the forest for the wildlife would be a good way to show our appreciation to the planet and to, you know, the other species that we share it with, and try to do the best we can.
Beautiful. Thank you. And how did you end up on the decision of where you are in Ecuador?
We came to Ecuador first, just as on a vacation, 6 or 7 years ago. And after that visit, we decided, even though it's a small country, there was a lot more to see. And we wanted to plan a second trip to see a larger part of the country. On our first trip, we didn't actually come to the Amazon at all. So then we planned a second trip. And by that time, we had learned more about the ease or the process of at least moving and, you know, as an expatriate, a foreigner moving to Ecuador and then being able to purchase land and so forth. And we came back and we made about 5 total visits to Ecuador and decided, you know, during those visits, we decided that we want to start looking for land and that we would want to move here. Like Terry said, it basically to spend the remainder of our lives, our retirement years, pretty much giving back to the planet and reforesting a section of the rainforest in Ecuador. And so we moved here a little over 2 years ago. We had not yet found a property. We'd done a lot of looking. But as we moved here and we started the process, we got temporary residency. And then we lived a couple of places in the Amazon while we were looking at different properties. We spent 3 months in one place and then 9 months in another place looking at where we might, you know, a property that kind of met all of our requirements. And we were particularly looking to find a large piece of property as basically as much land as we could afford so we could reforest, you know, a greater amount. And
protect it.
Yeah.
From exploitation, from animal exploitation. There are a lot of trees. There's a lot of beautiful wild land in Ecuador, but there's also a lot of farming, cattle, raising cows for dairy or for meat. So we just wanted to protect as much as possible and try to help Mother Nature come back and more trees to grow and, you know, just to have enough, just more for the wild animals to be able to eat and be protected from the elements with all the trees. And
from the activities of people, which are often, you know, either exploitative or just harmful through ignorance or neglect. And so a little over a year ago, we found this property. We saw a post online for this property was for sale. It seemed to meet all of our requirements. The buildings had a lot of infrastructure already here, and so we both made trips down here to visit the property and to see it. We fell in love with it. So about 13 months ago, we finalized a purchase, and we've been working on the property
ever since
that time.
I can imagine how much work it is with everything. That's lovely that you've committed to this. Well, this is new to me. I would think that it's probably new to many or some of our listeners. So let's take it right from the beginning of what is a veganic permaculture fruit forest intentional community.
Permaculture is a way of basically working with nature, with natural contours of the land, with the materials and raw, you know, resources that that are found on the land, as opposed to bringing in all sorts of artificial, you know, fertilizers and so forth to add to a thing, and then taking away all of the natural nutrients and organic matter and things like that. And then so veganic permaculture is doing that in a way that doesn't exploit animals. There are a number of people that practice permaculture that, you know, have livestock or chickens or some other things, you know, and they're utilizing those animals, exploiting those animals as part of their permaculture farm, even though those animals aren't native and don't come from there. So it's not really true permaculture. Whereas veganic permaculture, we don't have livestock, we don't have animals, we're just using the natural resources on the land. We're using our own resources that come from us personally, and we're using, you know, the materials that grow on the land to create mulch, to create fertilizer and things like that in a way that is fully vegan.
We were fortunate that there are already many, many fruit trees growing here, lots of citrus, different types of citrus, lemons, oranges, lemon oranges, which are orange lemons.
they look like an orange, but they taste like a lemon.
Yeah, and we have different kinds of bananas and yucca and all sorts of things that are growing here. We're also lucky because there were four houses already built on the property. They're all beautiful wooden structures, very well built. So we thought that would be really great to have a community that there are a couple of empty houses that people could come and, you know, if you're a vegan and you want to escape from the world of animal exploitation to a safe place where you know that, you know, the food you eat, the people that are around you are going to be respectful and, you know, then this is the place to come. And, you know, if people want to help with the reforestation project, that would be great too. So there's, you know, plenty to do here. And there's also lots of relaxation to do here. There's hiking. We have a beautiful, beautiful waterfall up about an hour's walk from the main house, and just smaller little waterfalls all around. And it's kind of why we called it Laughing Waters, because you can always hear the water, the streams bubbling, and it's just an amazing thing.
Yeah, Terry mentioned the waters. So the property is actually bounded on each side, on one side by a river, on the other side by a creek that come down to a point and converge, and the property basically is sort of a triangle between those two running waters. And so the fruit forest and reforestation project kind of go hand in hand. We're maintaining and enhancing and the existing fruit trees and other things that are here, and planting new ones. So we would like to have a lot of basically edible forest, not only for us, but for the native animals around here. So closer to where the houses are and so forth, where it's easier access for us to care for these trees and plants and to plant them. You know, we're working on planting more and more trees that produce fruits of different kinds. And then ultimately, about 50% of the property, I guess we haven't said the size, the property is 100 hectares total. And about half of that is pasture land where they've, in the past several decades, they've cut down all of the trees and instead encouraged the growth of this non-native invasive pasture grass to feed cattle. And so we are slowly cutting the grass in certain areas and planting trees to sort of shade out and basically helping to nurture the pioneer trees so that the forest starts to come back. So fruit forest in the areas nearby where we're, where the community is and we're living, and then just assisting Mother Nature in the reforestation and rewilding of those 50 hectares of pasture land in the further reaches of the property, and then protecting the roughly 40 or so hectares of existing forest that's still there.
And just a note, a hectare is about 2.47 acres.
Yeah, roughly 2.5.
So yeah. 100 hectares is about 247 acres.
Lovely. Lovely. Thank you. I enjoy seeing the various cottages and houses that you have. So is the yellow house the main house, the community house, and then you have the other wooden beautiful structures that are also available for folk?
Yes, the large yellow house is the main house, the community house at the beginning of the, is where the driveway ends and the property begins.
And it's got 5 bedrooms and 3 kitchens. And so it's a sizable house to be, you know, for a place for, you know, community members to stay as the community grows. But more of a shared space. I mean, there's shared bathrooms, shared showers, that sort of thing, and the shared kitchens. And then there are 2 other houses that are fully furnished and ready for people to move in. So we actually live in one of those smaller houses. That's where we spend our nights. Our days are usually down in the community, the big main house, or out working outdoors. And then there's a second small house that's a 2-bedroom pond house that has a kitchen and bathroom and 2 bedrooms. And a nice little, a nice deck with a great view. And it's very close to the creek on the one side of the property. So you always, and it has a small, tiny stream coming down another side of it. So either side of it, it has running water. So you always hear the kind of burbling creeks and streams really close to the house. So that's a gorgeous one. And then there is a, what we call the remote house, one more house that's farther up into the pasture that doesn't really have the same infrastructure as the other 3. It does not have electricity or water yet. It's not furnished, but it would be an excellent place for someone that wants to maybe a little bit more solitude and tranquility, a little separation slightly from the activity of the community. So it could be a little off-grid house. It has a nice, more or less flat plateau that it sits on. So it's got area for someone to have their own kind of personal garden and small fruit forest very close to it. So, yeah, we have a lot of options here.
We're listening to Michael Dance.
Leave the
light. I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Michael, along with his wife, Terry Cretion, are a vegan couple, and they are the co-founders Las Aguas Reses, Laughing Waters Vegan Community in the high Amazon rainforest of Ecuador. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Terry and Michael. You're listening to the song Leave the Light On by Maple Moon, featuring Sunrise. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're continuing our conversation with Terry Cretian and Michael Dance, the co-founders of Las Aguas Risas, Laughing Waters vegan community in the high Amazon rainforest of Ecuador. Yes, it's beautiful. And before I go into some more questions about the plants, I have to say what I like on the community house, the yellow house, is your hammock with the Rasta colors.
Yeah, and that actually came with the house, and we haven't moved it. It's a really nice little spot. It's just it's on a small little balcony, basically, that overlooks kind of the central patio and stuff of the main house. And it's always comfortable. It's always shaded, so it's nice, and you don't get too hot there or whatever. It's a nice place to relax.
Nice breeze. And great views.
We have a couple other hammocks around. We have hammock chairs down at the pond house. We have a hammock at our little casita where we stay. There's another hammock downstairs from where that, not directly below that Rasta hammock, but another spot there. The place where we're sitting right now is a nice little open deck on the third floor. It's fully covered, but it has views looking all the way across the mountains. We just saw this beautiful squirrel cuckoo in one of the trees nearby while we were talking to you.
We have lots of great birds around here, too. They have amazing songs, and I talk to them every day.
Awesome. Thank you. And I also like your stove.
Yeah, it's a big wood pizza oven. It's pretty amazing. It's not really cold here, so we don't use it all that often, but every once in a while on a chilly day, we'll light that up and stuff. So far, I've been using it for a little small experimental batches of making biochar.
I have baked bread in it and a cake or two and roasted some zucchini or something, every now and then we light it, but
it is really beautiful feature of the kitchen, though.
Yes.
And then the whole kitchen is quite amazing.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, there was large glass panes, so you had a view also in that room.
Yeah, there's not actually any glass. It's all just screened. That section of the kitchen has like a clear polycarbonate roof, so it's always lit up, and it's surrounded by screens. So, yeah, it's open on pretty much on all sides, so you have a great view while you're in the kitchen. You can see the birds. You can see some bananas right outside the windows.
Yeah, it's a great place to work, and you just feel like you're in the great outdoors, but you're, protected from the sun and the rain, and it's we were so fortunate to find this place.
Yes, I'm so happy and grateful that you two are the guardians, yes. And so I'd like to hear about your garden as well, with broccoli and green onions, chives, and et cetera.
Well, I'm not a great gardener. I put seeds in a certain section, and a lot of times the seeds don't sprout, but other things come up. So I just feel like, well, if they want to come up there, I'll let them do that. But, a lot of times weeds come up too. And, there's so many things about things that we used to think were weeds that we know now are medicinal beneficial plants. So I don't feel real comfortable pulling the weeds, quote unquote, out of the garden either.
but we do have, we've got, there's a local variety of dandelion that grows. Mm. And so it's, people would consider that a weed, but it's edible. We harvest those and put them in our smoothies and other things on a regular basis, the leaves from that. We have turmeric and ginger. We have a papaya tree, a volunteer. Our land is a little bit high and a little bit cold for papayas, but we do have a couple trees growing, but the one that's growing best is a volunteer growing inside the garden. So we've just kept it. It's the only one that actually has fruit growing on it. But we have tomatoes. There's a couple varieties of tomatoes that I think the previous owners planted. We've had some seeds, and we planted a few of those seeds, and those are growing. But also, there's a small Amazonian cherry tomato. It's very, very tiny, like the size of a marble. And it grows everywhere. And raspberries. We have raspberries that just come up everywhere. They come up in the garden. They come up around the garden. There were a few placed out in the yard, not in a very great place for them. It was a little bit too wet, but we dug them up and we transplanted them to another spot closer to our casita where they get a little more sun and it has better drainage, and they're doing just great. So we get raspberries. We have a native natural mora, it's called, like a blackberry, and they grow like a weed with thorns around the house where we're cultivating it. So they've kind of been a you know, a difficult thing and something people would consider a pest. But what I discovered on a hike recently was higher up, a little bit higher altitude on the property than we are here at the house. It's just that tiny bit colder, and they flower and they fruit up there. So we've got a lot of great things. We have pineapples, again, mostly planted by the previous owners. We've just kind of been tending to them. We get the idea that maybe they weren't sure where they would do best, so they've planted a lot of pineapples in a lot of different sort of terrain around the property. And we have our first pineapple fruit growing from those right now. We're very excited about that. Let's see what, we have this in the garden. We have this amazing pepper. It's we believe it's a variety of rocoto pepper that originally comes from Bolivia, I think. It's one of the oldest or maybe the oldest cultivated pepper in the Americas. And it's a crazy thing. It was already in the garden. We don't have to do anything to it but water it every once in a while. It's producing like mad, and it just keeps going. And the peppers are very strange. They kind of look like a very small bell pepper. And they range in hotness from like a mild jalapeno to a really hot habanero. They're just within a single pepper. One bite will be not very hot, and the other will just be scorching. It's a very, you know, this very random, what did we call it? Like a
Russian roulette
pepper, because you never know how hot it's going to be.
Interesting. Thank you. And we're coming to a close on the interview for today, Terry and Michael. What additional messages do you have for our listeners?
Come on down to visit. If you need to relax a little bit, it's a great place to come. We have a Facebook page. It's Las Aguas Risas, Laughing Waters Vegan Community. And we're working on our website right now. There'll be lots more information on that. But if you check on our Facebook page, eventually you will see a link to our website. Come on down and visit.
I'm going to go ahead and give the website. We're just getting it started. We have the domain. There's no content yet, but soon, you know, if people hear this interview later, it will be live. So I'll go ahead and get that. It's aguasrisas.org, AguasRisas.org. And sometime in the coming weeks, we'll have more content up there. It's one of those things where we're so busy working outdoors and on all the different things. When it's a nice day, we want to be working, you know, take advantage and be working outside. And so when it's a rainy day, we have to do indoor things. And so that's when we can work on the website. So I can't say exactly when it'll be up, but basically the more rainy days we have, the sooner it'll be live.
Thank you. And could you please give the name again and the spelling for your Facebook page?
Las Aguas Risas. Laughing Waters Vegan Community. And those first three words are LasAguasRisas.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Marlene. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and sharing the information about our property and our community and our reforestation project with your audience.
Yeah, thanks for all the work that you do, and it's really a pleasure to be able to share information with you and your audience.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Do you think there's anything we might have missed, or you think we covered it?
I think we covered it. Yeah. Could you hear those birds in the background there?
Yes.
They came right up and sat on a beam like 3-4 feet from us.
Yeah.
They want to be a part of the interview also.
Wow.
There's two. There's a pair of them on another beam around the corner from us underneath the edge of the roof.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. To Maple Moon. also a vegan couple, Sol and Tom, that's Sol, S-O-L. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. And much thanks to my guests, Terry and Michael, the co-founders of Las Aguas Risas, Laughing Waters Vegan Community, a veganic permaculture fruit forest intentional community and forest preserve in the high Amazon rainforest of Ecuador. And much thanks to Maple Moon for the music. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at wcuw.org/community/Vegan Nation and also vegansradio.com. This is Marlene in Massachusetts wishing you a joyful, peaceful day. Thank you.